sister came up here.
Okay.
And then she got her master's and her doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we got the garden. She had her one daughter.
Okay.
She moved to Eagle Heights.
Okay.
And then she had her son.
Okay.
And then we've had the garden since.
Okay.
You think it's recording us?
I'm going to make sure. Yes, it is recording us. With all the noise, I'm going to make sure.
But it was, okay. There were a lot of nice people up in the garden. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the best part. You know,
yeah.
Meeting all the people from
uh-huh.
everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you could watch, but being rather political, like I always have been,
yeah.
I always kind of watch the political things that happen.
Yeah, which would be, yeah.
You know,
excellent.
They, you
so,
know, I've always ended up in political conversations with, you know, people from, you know, third world countries mad at America about this, and I said, what's not my fault?
Give me an example. What?
Well, there was this one woman from Malawi, and she was always, you know, saying that, you know, we're still, you know, imperialists all over the place, and, you know, our corporations ruling countries, and
uh-huh.
I was talking to another man from Ecuador, and he was saying that they can't even sell their potatoes in small lots anymore like they used to.
Yeah.
They have to sell them in large lots.
Uh-huh.
So they're pushing people off the land
uh-huh.
because they can't afford to sell all their potatoes at once.
Yeah.
You know, they're all subsistence farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you need to figure out how much you need as well. As
but the yeah. you know, the agribusiness people from the United States
uh-huh.
come in, they want to grow palm oil and large cash crops on that land.
Uh-huh.
So they're pushing the locals out.
Well, yeah.
And some of them end up in, you know, academia as a result. Their country's economic change so rapidly.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was the case with the one Ecuadorian man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he liked growing potatoes in different varieties.
Mm.
Another part with the international students is, you know, a lot of they all smuggle seeds in.
Mm.
So there was a Croatian that had a real nice variety of tomato from Croatia that they all
grew.
And I'd saved the seeds for a while, but then I lost track of them. Yeah, but it was too bad.
Yeah.
And then I had a Iranian neighbor who was a postdoc in gene splitting. He couldn't go home because he was a socialist, so him and I got along real well.
Yeah.
He was stuck here for a while. He's still in this country.
Okay.
And I've got some Iranian chai bunnies from him.
Oh, my.
I got on the committee those.
So birds. what did you get from this Iranian?
Oh, it's a chai bunion.
Chai bunion. What is a chai?
You know,
what is a chai?
Well,
bunion?
They're flat leaf. They're kind of like the Chinese.
Like
flat,
the garlic onion.
Well, they yeah, so
yeah.
They're like
Sorry.
The flat
uh-huh.
leafed onion.
Uh huh. Okay.
They're a little different flavors than the Chinese one. And then the Koreans have their own variety of a similar onion.
Uh huh.
But these,
uh-huh.
he said, grew on. You know, the shores of the Caspian Sea, and that nobody in that region ever got sick or ill or had autoimmune diseases because they ate those chai bunions. And he swore by them.
Okay.
And even though he was a postdoc in gene splitting, and you know, he still thought the onions were more powerful.
Genetic engineering.
He mixed it with everything, yogurt, and,
oh, wow.
you know, and then pasta.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are they perennials? Do you still have them?
They just keep coming.
They're just, yeah.
And then they reseed.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
So I've got, and they work rather well to keep down the weeds in my asparagus patch.
Huh. Okay, so you interest me.
Because they're, they just take over like a carpet.
Uh-huh.
And then the asparagus, you know, manages to come through them, but
uh-huh.
it keeps the weeds out pretty well.
Huh.
Well, otherwise you'd have to use a, you know, pest. You know, most people would, you know, heavily mulch or,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you weren't organic, you'd use a, you know, can't think of the word now.
Herbicide. Those things.
But the onions work better.
Yeah, they're much better.
You know, how this thing works. Oh, there.
I don't know.
Put my pen there. So, but it was interesting. We had,
uh-huh.
you know, because the one gardener, we had one gardener on one side that was from Croatia,
mm-hmm.
and another one on the other side. He was in the 900s, just down from me,
mm-hmm.
and the other gardener was Serbian,
mm-hmm.
drum on the other side of me, uh-huh. not my role. And when they first year they guarded, they were best friends, and the families uh-huh. did things together and everything else. Uh-huh. But then the Yugoslav War broke out, uh-huh. and the next year they never spoke.
Oh.
They didn't interact at all.
Wow.
So although, you know, the garden seemed to be a place to get away from, there's little politics involved. You know, I mentioned the Chinese before.
The mainland
Chinese. The first couple years they came, mm-hmm. I had the neighbor from Singapore that was in one garden, and he would tell me little things and stuff. But then he always there was one one Chinese gardener that lived in Eagle Heights with them at the same, not with them as the family, but with the Chinese community from the mainland. This is the early years.
Uh-huh.
That anytime he would walk up, uh-huh. they would all stop talking and, just guard. So I was always talking politics with him and social issues.
Uh-huh.
And anytime this man showed up, he would turn his back on me without even warning and start gardening. And I said, is he somebody important or anything at all? He said, we shouldn't talk about him at all, So I always suspected that they sent him with to watch the, the early students. I don't think they do anything like that anymore.
Oh.
But that first group that came over,
uh-huh.
they sent watchers with them.
Wow.
And it was kind of interesting.
Wow.
And I pointed out to friends in the garden, I said, watch, as he comes, everybody will stop.
And they did.
Every time.
Wow. That's crazy.
They wouldn't be talking to, Westerners or any other
uh-huh.
at that point. That's all changed now.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
completely different.
Uh-huh.
But those first couple of years were interesting.
Fascinating.
But,
The social, nobody's mentioned such intricate social interactions.
That's because I'm political.
I love that. Probably.
I always get in trouble.
But, probably.
Those are the things I've always noticed. And, I'll get in conversation probably other people don't get into normally mm-hmm. because so maybe that's why I kind of notice those things.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how many people you have talked to when I feel like a lot of them don't speak English very well. And so how do you bridge that? How do you just decide to...
Well, some of them speak fairly
some
well,
is,
but
yeah, some of them
others,
well.
Will point and, nod.
Uh-huh.
I some of the grandfather's stuff, I've always been able to communicate with them, the grandmothers. They'll come over and show you that you're doing it wrong or point out a plant that, why aren't you... you Uh-huh. And, I thought I'd help out with something. I was not a student at the time and not, academic at the time. So I figured that, I should help out being a community member.
Yeah.
Represent, which I've done again lately.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But my sister's husband, he got sick. He's been dead for about 7 years now. He got, had lymphoma, and was very ill for like 4 or 5 years, so I kind of uh-huh. dropped off the committee that time,
uh-huh.
because there just was no time.
Yeah, when would there be time?
It was too many family issues right now.
Yeah.
But, I just enjoyed helping.
Uh-huh.
I built the bat houses, and then,
houses.
They're still stuck up on those sticks. I'm never sure if we ever got any bats in them or not. They've been there about 10
Which
years.
Which sticks? Where are they?
There's one near
them.
The compost pile. I think that the preserve people have taken a couple others down because
okay.
they're missing now.
Okay.
And I was thinking we could put a couple more up there.
You should.
Different
yeah. See, but
then we build a coal frame, but there's nobody to maintain it. So I built the coal frame.
Uh-huh.
I told them they had to maintain it.
Which is at the end of the 600 rows,
yeah,
right?
It was to the south. Mm-hmm. It got all cut up and, you know, it's not there anymore.
I was wondering, because I've seen references to the cold frame, so you're the one that...
Yeah, we built it, and I built it. And then we put, you know, automatic door openers on it. But the issue was, it was, you know, it was facing south, which everyone thought would be great for growing things, but it overheated in the spring too much. So, and unless you had somebody to water it, you know, every 2 hours, or basically every two hours, you know, you know, you get those hot sunny days, so they're facing south.
Yeah.
So our direction was probably the biggest failure. But,
yeah.
Because the doors opened and we ventilated it, but it wasn't enough.
How big was it? So it must have been quite large.
It was. It was 16 feet long.
Oh, that is big.
Because I used you know, 2 4x8s. You know,
yeah.
that made my length. That's why I remember how long it was. I did it according to materials.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I cut the ones, you know, the two sections, made the back, and then the shorter, you know, parts made the front and the side.
Yeah.
I was able to get it out of two sheets of plywood fairly, you know, that way.
Yeah.
But then we had glass, you know, big glass windows that opened stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that southern exposure was just too hot. I think we would have been better off with a northern exposure. Because people put their plants in them and they, you know, they kill them like in one day.
Yeah.
You know, even if they watered them extensively in the morning, by noon they were toast.
It must have been so many disappointed people who came back.
Well, we were trying to figure out anything we could, but I said, unless you have somebody that can come. Well, with the university, with their greenhouses, they have somebody, you know, that's, you know, students that are assigned to water, assigned to, you know, make sure it doesn't get too hot.
Yeah.
You know, because we could prop up the doors even wider, you know, on, you know, sunny days, but somebody had to be there to do it.
Uh-huh.
I worked full time, so I couldn't. So.
Yeah.
It just, it was a good idea, but maybe a bad location.
Not maybe a bad location.
Sounded like a great location.
Yeah.
But that worked out. But I was there in the early years when we went, so there was a man named Robert Gifford.
Yep.
And he, I was on the committee the years that he was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we built the major paths then, and we put the first rock wall in.
So when you say that you built the major paths, were there, what were the paths like before? And
how, you know, the main path that goes up the gardens?
Yep.
That one was much narrower.
Oh, okay.
So we made that wider, you know, and changed the, you know, and just re-measured the garden plots that were next to it. We just changed the dimensions, you know. We used to mark the gardens every year with sticks and string. And they would plow the gardens every spring.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, put manure down.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd have to go out and stake them every spring. And that's that was my job because I was the cabinet rep. I made the stakes.
You made the stakes.
So all the little corners. You had to make. We had like 703 gardens then. You know.
Really? So that many more? Well, how many gardens do we have now?
Well,
only
we
like
lost all the area by F.H. King, and we lost all that area by the other area.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had more gardens.
Yeah.
But, you know. The lower area, who has those gardens? I can't remember their name now.
The horticulture?
Yeah.
Cows. Yeah.
The area that Cows is in, we let go fallow with the understanding that we could get it back anytime we wanted it. We made an agreement with the university, which they promptly forgot.
Mm.
You know, because I think, I don't know if Shalala was chancellor then.
Shalala?
It was before Wiley.
Okay, it's before Wiley. Okay.
So, you know. Whoever was in just before Wiley, probably. I think it might have been Shalala, because she went with the Clinton administration. So when did Clinton come in? I think so it was maybe between Wiley. Clinton was 92. So it might have been right about then. So it was either Shalala or the chancellor right after Shalala.
Okay.
You know, but they told us we could have that property back whenever we wanted. At that time, you know, the gardens were completely independent. We had our own treasury. We, you know, we ran our own books. If we needed help, there was a university worker named Howard Chunk, and he was our liaison with.
Do you know how I could get in touch?
Take this
it.
Down. I'll probably forget.
Okay.
Joe Cooper. You may be able to help because he worked with him.
What was his first name?
He doesn't know where he is, but Joe Cooper.
Joe Cooper.
And he worked with him, and they know how to find him because he's either on the pension plan or there, he may have in other ways of finding him than I couldn't find him.
Okay.
And his number is
262-4457. Okay. And he worked for the university too? What did Joe Cooper do?
Well, Joe Cooper, he still works with housing, but in a different area. He's still with housing.
Okay.
And he's got a garden, you know, in the
garden. Okay.
And, but we were completely independent. There was a pipe that went under the road and hooked up to a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And
so it was still
there was no
up
meter.
To
the... So the water was acquired that way.
So it was still
so Howard would
so
go down into the
then.
You know the sewer,
uh-huh.
and then you know just open up the line there, and then just open up the hydrant. Huh. See, he had an apartment right in Eagles Heights. He actually raised his family and children there when they graduated because it was a great place to raise kids.
Uh-huh.
My niece and nephew grew up there completely, and they loved it.
Yeah.
And when his, you know, the university was starting to change as far as, you know, way it did things, you know. It was a lot looser in the early days. In the 70s, it was real loose.
Uh-huh.
You know, the physical plant was in charge of Picnic Point. You know, they didn't, nobody oversaw them at all on anything.
Yeah.
The gardens were there, and nobody oversaw them either. You know, they just existed on their own.
Yeah.
And then anything we needed, we just asked Howard. And he would find a truck, or he would find, you know, the plumber.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, nobody charged anybody anything,
uh-huh.
and they would just fix everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we've worked on the plumbing ourselves and stuff, but if we needed to buy pipe and stuff, we'd have to buy it out of the treasury.
Uh-huh.
But as far as, you know, if something major went wrong, you know, usually the housing guys would just fix it for us. It was just done. It's like the garage. It showed up just one spring. I don't even know who. We didn't ask for it.
It just appeared?
Somewhere in somebody's budget. They just built us a garage. We didn't even ask for it. Because I think that was when Gifford was, you know, chairman.
Uh-huh.
He said they're going to build us a garage. I said, well, that's nice. Who's that? He said, I really don't know. And they just built us a garage. So that's where that showed up.
How odd.
Well, you know, like, you know, the university's fairly large.
And uh-huh. Yeah.
They're trying to organize it now, I think. But in those days, they, you know, it was like I was trying to get we're trying to stop Weed and Feed being put on Eagle Heights because all the kids were playing there. We had some friends who were, you know, allergic.
This
to
was in the 90s. This was in the 90s too.
So you know, we were told, well, I called the head of Limnology, Environmental Studies, you know, all the professors involved there. Well, that's so and so over at the physical plant. We really don't talk to him much. So I said, well, what does that mean? I said, you know, I said, we just went, you know, skating because my nephew was in a stroller at that point. You know, he's like 6 months old or something. And we went rollerblading with the stroller, my niece and my sister, you know. And the whole path between, you know, down the hill from the gardens and, you know, all over Eagle Heights, the sidewalks and everything, whoever they contracted, where they hid it themselves, I don't know, they just had Weed and Feed spread all over the place.
Oh.
It was in the gully heading in, you know, where the water goes into Lake Mendota.
Yeah.
So we were trying to stop it from, well, we didn't think the kids should be playing in it anyhow.
Yeah.
You know, because it was on the athletic field, on the playgrounds, everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, because that's got 2,4-D in it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not a very good chemical. So.
No.
Everybody with the university basically said, no, they weren't going to help. Hmm. You know, they said, that's the guy that runs the physical plant. Whoever that was back then, he seemed to have more power than the chancellor. So, you know, and one, you know, the head of the limnology at the time, I don't remember their names now, it's so long ago.
Uh-huh.
But he literally told me, he said, well, the university is run like a medieval society, and everybody's got their little zone carved out.
Yep.
So, you know, he said, we really don't want to step on his toes if we need a favor from him in the future. So, you know, he said, if something breaks or something, if we make him mad, he won't fix it.
Yeah.
And that was the understanding everywhere. Uh-huh. So uh-huh. Luckily, you know, my sister knew that the alderman, Doug Cratch, you know, that I told you about before, you know, their friend. And he, you know, we also knew, you know, Paul Soglin, who was mayor at the time. And or in between the wing, he was still, might have been Soglin still then. But we had, you know, contacts in the mayor's office and stuff. So, you know, we got a hold of the city attorney, and they threatened the university with an injunction. And that's how it got stopped. You know, that pretty much did it. You know, threatened him with a lawsuit, and that was the end of that. And then he quit beating around. Because all the, you know, Madison schools had stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, they're still spreading it all over Eagle Heights. But we got that changed.
We got that changed.
And when Gifford came in, too, we decided to make all of Eagle Heights organic.
Yeah, and so what was... You were obviously... That's with Navazio, you became...
That's when I became...
or understood...
There was half the committee... There was a division in the committee at that time, too.
Okay.
So
yeah.
There was half the committee that, you know, did not think they could grow plants without chemicals. You know,
okay.
And they were very strong. And it came down to, you know, swing votes, you know. Mm. So we were trying to get people on the committee that were, you know, more organically interested.
Uh-huh.
So we did. And I think we passed it by, like, one vote.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
You know how the committee is. There are too many people on at a time ever.
No.
You know, to get more on one side than the other.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was a rather heated argument. They did not think they could grow plants without, you know, without chemicals. So.
Yeah.
But then we got it all organic. So.
Okay.
And then we used to... let one row go fallow every year, but we're having more people apply. You know, there's always been kind of a up and down curve of you know, demand for garden space.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I said, you know, we're it's like, why are we letting it go fallow? It usually turns into weeds every time we do. You know, it's just turned into a weed field.
So who's it? Was there a fallow when you started?
Yeah.
So that had already been going on.
Yeah.
So I wonder who.
It was moving up the. Well,
was it planted with something? Did they like, plant
well,
it with
we tried to put buckwheat in.
Buckwheat, yeah.
And then one year we tried to grow pumpkins in there, and you know, and buckwheat. But it usually always ended up just massive weeds.
Uh-huh.
You know, the new, you know, with Will and Robin, you know, and Will's determination, you know,
uh-huh.
they've really done a good job of keeping the weeds down.
Mm.
You know, no matter what anyone thinks about him, one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
he's very determined. And the gardens are nicer because of it, you know, and I respect that. Because some of our intentions in the old days were very good, but they didn't always work very good.
Tell me a little bit more about, so how do you see the weeds change? Like, just, you know, it wasn't such a big deal. Nobody, if your garden went to weed, did it matter? What
you
happened?
Lose small children.
You lose small children.
Yeah, they
you
were,
could no longer find them.
Well, yeah, there were patches. Yeah, you know, it was... We always had a weed policy, but it wasn't enforced very well.
Mm.
And then, you know, you know, that was a problem.
Mm-hmm. Are a lot of the weeds the same?
Well, you know, we had different chairmen and different attitudes.
Mm.
You know, we had one female chairman who was, you know, had her child, like, right before this, you know, like, right at opening.
Uh-huh.
And she was very nice.
Uh-huh.
And then... The committee was very loose at the time. I was on it, so obviously.
Yeah.
And we basically just opened the gardens and shut the gardens that year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was it. You
okay,
know.
Yeah.
So, you know. Just,
what more needs to be done? You know, people garden, people don't.
That was all we did.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, yeah, it functions either at a high level or a low. It still functions.
Yeah.
You know. There were no major complaints. The weeds weren't really knocked down too much.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, the garden workers, you know, they'd keep the paths open, but they really didn't try to, you know, do anything about gardens that went out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst problem was that they used to, at the beginning, they had alfalfa in that, where the prairie areas, I have no sense of direction, so on the one side where the prairie area is, towards that water, you know, pumping station or whatever that
is.
Yeah,
yeah.
They used to grow buckwheat there for the farm up on Mineral Point Road.
Uh-huh.
Not buckwheat, but alfalfa.
Yeah.
And then that worked rather well. And then all of a sudden they got rid of the, you know, the egg station up on Mineral Point, you know, where they put the research park. So they quit growing it for a couple years.
Uh-huh.
And then that got filled with Canadian thistles.
Uh-huh.
And so our thistle problem is a direct result of that area going to thistles for about that 2 to 3 year period. Uh-huh. And they were all blowing into the gardens. Because we didn't have any thistles at the beginning.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
They weren't a problem?
No. So that one area off to the side, they let that go. And that got infested with thistles. And then that's where our problem started over there.
The thistles are bad, too. They're so bad. Interesting. So that's where the thistles...
You know, just being there for a long time, you just see these things come and go and happen.
Was the comfrey already there when you
The comfrey was beginning
in?
To be a problem already. It's expanded. Yeah. You know, digging it up doesn't work. You know, I've understood what they, you know, Will and Robin suggested putting, you know, just painting leaves of, you know... you know, I knew that hit a lot of opposition, but we've worked on it since I started, and it's never gotten better. So I understand their viewpoint. So.
Well, isn't that part of it? Was I talked to Bob Gifford, and he's one of the reasons that he advocated going to perennial pots rather than
Now, did you talk to Gifford?
I did talk
to
Gifford.
Did you find him?
I did.
Oh, where is he?
He's in Texas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is he in meteorology or something else?
I think he's a meteorologist in Texas.
Oh, good. I'm glad he's...
Yeah.
See, he was a very nice person.
Did you like him?
Yeah.
He seems like a go-getter. So, if you... That was an issue.
See, I used to tease him, you know. He'd push a little too hard. I got along with him, so I just tease him about it, you know. Some people, did alienate, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, the one year there was it was drizzling on opening morning. And in those years, you know, instead of having all these individual work days that we have now, we had like two big work days. It was opening and closing.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it. So everybody showed, you had hundreds of people show up.
Wow.
Literally.
Yeah.
And we had 700 gardens back then.
Yeah.
So you had like 200-300 people show up. So one half, so we were planning to put in a culvert. You know, we had plans of what we were going to do that day. So, you know, we were going to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And half the committee was on, seemed to be on one side. There was a principal from some school that was, on the committee that he was going back to school working as a doctor. And he had a contingent on one side. And then, Bob Gifford, I got along with Bob, so I was on his side, basically. And then there was a man named, he's a geologist, Eric Olmanson. His son did, he was there a long time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on Gifford's and my side, too, because we, got along pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And then Gifford used to tease me about politics and, my hair and sort of things.
Yeah.
And we got along well.
Yeah.
But this other side was rather stringent with, it's drizzling, we can't, do what we set out today, we're going to send the people home. And there's 300 people there, right? And so the committee is divided in the garage, with Gifford's side here, and Gifford's getting mad, and then the principal's getting mad, and words are being exchanged and stuff, and Gifford storms off, and then the principal and his bunch storm off, and all that was left was me and Eric, right? And 300 people, right? And then we had to stake everything, too.
Oh, good, yeah.
So,
and that can't just be done haphazard either, right? You sort of had to plan.
So we just we did it.
Yeah.
So I said, we just got to set this up. This is stupid, So we just did it, I said, throw the stakes in the barrel. We just went. We didn't get some of the other chores done that day, but we got a stake and we got it open.
It matters, right? People just want to be able to garden.
But sometimes it can get heated.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's getting along pretty good right now. The early spring last year, there was, those issues, that,
With the herbicide.
Multiple plots.
Yeah.
See, there was a period where we had, we'd have up to, 50, 60 extra plots, maybe more than that. We contacted the Hmong community at one point, and we brought some Hmong farmers in to, take control of the one area, down by Cal's especially. That area tended to flood.
Oh.
So, that's why we let it go fallow. I was up there during one flood. It was extreme, too.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had a key to the the garage at the time.
Uh-huh.
So I opened the garage, it was just like a monsoon had come in. It was pouring, so I had about 20 gardeners, and we just watched the water just going down the gravel. gravel road, just like a river. Uh-huh. And then it came through those culverts from Eagle Heights. I think they've done a little bit of work on it.
Where are the culverts? Are they near the FHK?
Down by the road,
now?
Yeah. Well, it's down that way.
Or down that way, but yeah.
I don't know what they've done. They might have changed it.
Okay.
But there were a couple big culverts that came down out of Eagle Heights then. And then drained under the road right into the gardens. And they washed out the whole section.
Oh, man.
You know,
it was gone.
It was really sad.
That is
That's
sad.
Why we decided to let that area go back. I think Cal was having trouble with it now.
That's what somebody said, that they're still working on
We did some work to try to help it. But it was a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you brought Hmong gardeners in from...
Yeah, they were just starting to come into the area then.
Oh, okay.
I think I've been here a while. So they needed more garden space, and they weren't, established. Not lately, they buy their own land, as a community, mm-hmm. And then it's worked rather well for them.
Yeah.
So, they've come a long way in a few years.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, they were, new to the area, and they were looking for spaces to, grow things with. So,
yeah.
And they had beautiful gardens, They worked very hard. So we gave them the land that flooded, and they were more than, for like $3 a plot or nothing. We didn't, I don't even know if we charged at that point.
Yeah.
We said if you want, and we warned them about the flooding problem.
Yeah.
But, it didn't flood the next year. So. But it was a continual problem. But yeah, you give somebody a garden plot and they work hard on it.
And then one
of those storms comes through.
Yeah.
Well, that one year it flooded all the way from Lake Mendota over the road, over that little pond over by the hospital,
across
the whole athletic fields. The whole area was flooded.
Wow.
It was just. My niece and nephew were in the middle of it. It is a marsh. Well, they keep building up around it. You put more concrete. The hospital keeps expanding.
Water.
It has nowhere to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, goes right in.
Flood again.
Great.
But it was kind of nice in those days because, I know there's more order now, but the gardens weren't, didn't have to answer to anybody. Mm-hmm. So, although there was some... Sometimes a little controversy or infighting here or there. They always open, they always shut, and everybody seemed to have.
Yeah.
sometimes you were busier than others.
So did you notice, did you ever do any of the gleaning that people talk about? So after closing, day, right, you didn't own your garden plot anymore
everybody come in.
Did you...
Yeah, I didn't, but I just took my stuff out.
You just took your stuff out.
Then they just let it open to the community, and mm-hmm. anybody that came in could take it.
Could just take things, yeah.
I wish I had, just before I started, they used to have a bonfire every year. They mm-hmm. used to clear everything out and burn everything and then have a potluck. But I missed that. It was just before I started.
It was just right
then DNR got mad about the bonfire. I don't know why. They got that coal burner on Charter Street.
Yeah.
All we wanted to do was burn some plant debris. Well, this is the contradiction that you always run into.
Uh-huh,
And then you've got the wood kiln up on the above.
Oh, the archaeology kiln. Yeah.
They
burn things all the time.
They burn. Yeah. It just depends on who you talk to. I think we could get a permit to burn again.
I was talking to Gretel and she was saying that she wanted to do something.
I think
like
it's just
that.
The will. It depends on who's chairman, who's involved, whether they really want to do it. Most of the time everybody just goes, well, they won't let us do it. I don't know if we've really tried that.
It would be fun. It would be fun to have a bonfire.
Maybe we could just call it a cultural thing. Just find some Wiccan members or something and say, this is a tradition of ours.
We need to do it for our tradition. So what do you remember about the time when, like 2000, 2001, when that oversight did begin with the university, right?
Yeah,
so
I was a little separated.
You were separated.
You know,
that's when you were separated. But were you still gardening?
I wasn't part of the committee, so I didn't keep as close a touch.
Yeah.
I got a little bit involved and went to a couple meetings when they were, talking about... changing the rules and taking garden space and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all so quick and arbitrary, they really didn't allow input.
Mm-hmm.
There was newspaper articles in the Cap Times, and everybody supporting the gardens.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the decision that was made, and, I have a friend that, had Wiley as a advisor as an undergraduate years ago, and liked him, you know, and thought he was a very nice man, but he made a very arbitrary decision when, you know, in reference to the gardens.
Yeah.
And I don't think he had the information. I don't think he wanted to be bothered, and I think he, you know, he was getting some, he, you know, by the time he left the university, he, you know, he's kind of mad about a lot of issues. I don't know if he spent a lot of time on the garden.
Yeah.
Because he seemed, you know, he had an open letter that I read. There were a lot of issues that he was angry about.
Huh.
You know, so I think we're just a victim of that.
We should look that up.
Anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had an open letter to the, you know, the university.
Oh, to the university. Yeah, he, about his leaving.
Yeah, he left as an angry man. And I think we got,
ouch,
you know, the bad end of it.
Yeah, ouch. Not good.
But then the other thing that happened with the gardens,
yeah,
I don't know, nobody seems to want to talk about it. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But Frauschi bought up the rest of that land by, you know, on the, where the preserve is now.
Yeah.
I forget what they call that.
Frauschi Point, the second
Frauschi
point?
Frauschi Point, Frauschi
point.
Yes, for him now.
Okay, yeah.
Now he, which was very good to save the land.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But then as a result, you know, they set up the preserve, you know, the, whatever you call it, the preserve committee now.
Uh-huh.
And then they got, see, we went from being controlled by the physical department and then controlled by the arboretum.
Uh-huh.
And then from the arboretum, we ended up under the preserve committee. So it just like whoever seems to be wielding money and power at that time seems to have been in control of us.
Yeah.
And we've had no say in, you know, obviously, you know, we don't own the land, but, you know, it's just the decisions aren't always done, you know, with anybody's interests, but a few people. It's kind of like when Frauschi took it over. He had this idea of preserving its natural setting. So, you know, the money was there, the preserve was founded, and we were rather victimized by the policy.
Because you're not natural.
No, we had gardens.
But the gardens aren't natural.
But if you look at pictures from Picnic Point from 1900, there was only a few dozen trees on the whole thing. The whole thing was gardened.
Uh-huh.
I read one article with it, you know, the medical school had their herb garden up there, you know, so they were literally growing opium and marijuana at the turn of the century up there. You know, they were.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they considered medicinal herbs.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of changed their attitude lately, I guess.
Slightly.
But
A little bit of a change.
But, you know, but they were growing that up there then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, so, the politics of, you know, people don't like to talk politics, but the politics seem to control everything.
Yeah. Yeah, land politics in particular, and that's one of the things that really fascinates me, is like how land decisions or like boundaries of the garden are made and determined. And
see, like the Native Americans who were there first, they didn't believe in ownership of land. You cannot own Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We're here, we die, we become part of it again, you know.
Yeah.
I, you know, my brother-in-law was part Native, and, you know, he practices, you know, the religion, and, you know, he used to do the tobacco, you know, ceremony and stuff. But this one's
that. Oh, yeah, not at all.
Well, I'm meeting with that person from the garden committee for a master's. No, that's right. Okay. Okay. I'll talk to you later then. Okay? Bye. My sister.
Your sister.
But she wanted me to get some rosati, so she... But anyhow.
You're out. Bring me
but
something.
But anyhow, her husband was part Native,
okay,
so he was Lakota Sioux. So, you know, he used to practice. So he used to, you know, being the good socialist that I am. You know, he'd do the little tobacco ceremony in my garden, you know, to make everything grow well.
Nice.
But I used to chase him out. I said, stay away from the peppers because they get tobacco mosaic disease. So I don't know if the Great Spirit was quite on my side or not.
Oh, that's so good.
But we also had a large Native population in Eagle Heights for a while.
Oh, really?
They
used
to have the drummers come. They used to drum down, you know, do their drum ceremonies. They played quite a bit, and there were a couple of them up in the gardens. And they grew tobacco for their ceremonies up in the gardens. Then.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's really fascinating. They're not around.
I don't know.
No.
We just ran into them because my brother-in-law was part Native, and he, you know, he heard the drumming going on, and he went down and they let him drum, and then
he was
a big guy. He was, you know, those Northern Sioux, you know, some of them were huge. You know, like Aaron Burnbear, he was Bidesa's advisor. Uh-huh. You know, and his grandfather was 7'1".
Oh.
I mean, some of the Plains Indians were very large. And Jerry was like 6'6", you know.
Oh.
So, you know, when the Sioux drummers came down, they were just really big guys.
You stay away.
Yeah, they were interesting. Yeah.
Huh.
But they had a couple garden plots up there.
Okay.
And they grew tobacco for their ceremonies.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah. What difference do you notice from the plowing every year to the perennial?
The erosion plots? that we are having right now was they didn't plow properly a couple of the last years.
And you think the erosion we're having now is because of that, and
when they do the top, they mm-hmm. pull all that soil down, and then in my garden, I've been in the same spot forever.
I was going to say, have you had the same garden plot?
So I kept pulling it back.
Huh.
But a lot of people didn't. And
uh-huh.
so they just gardened from that cliff that was done by the plowing down.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of that was done by that. That's, you know, we went to, you know, under Gifford, we went to the, you know, to the no-till.
Yeah.
And that's helped with the erosion, too. It's had other problems with. But I don't think it would have saved us from the thistles anyhow, because the thistles came in because of that other.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the plowing had much effect, because they would just plow under those weeds. They'd come up anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would, you know, there was a lot done under Gifford, you know.
Yeah.
Whether people agreed with him or not, he did a lot. He did.
It sounds like he.
You know, that's when we fixed the paths, we built the rock wall, we put the coal frames
in. What prompted you to build the first rock wall? The erosion, too?
The erosion, yeah. It was done by plowing. The plowing did, you know, it just pulled too much, you know, from the top and then down. So, you know, you started off gardening, you know, with the cliff.
But then there
was a few mistakes made. One of the committee members was from Florida. And she was in agriculture down there.
Uh-huh.
And she knew of some grass seed that was they used on the dikes to hold the dikes in place.
Uh-huh.
And so we got a hold of that grass seed to put on the paths and stuff,
uh-huh.
because, you know, they had really great roots and they, you know.
Uh-oh. Is that the grass we're still struggling with?
And
what kind of grass is it? Do you know?
I don't know what it's called.
Oh.
But it was from down south. They use it on the dikes to hold the dikes. It's great grass. Nothing, you know.
So you brought that up.
I didn't do it.
Specifically. No, but.
But yeah,
the
committee did that.
Specifically. Yeah.
And then here's one that, you know, the DNR doesn't want to admit either. So when Steph was little, and it was when Gifford was still there too, DNR offered us ladybugs. You know, to put in the garden, like quarts of them, you know, to, you know, help pests.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't native ladybugs.
They were
Asian ladybugs.
Oh, no.
Now, DNR has to this day denied that they introduced Asian ladybugs into the state. You know,
uh-huh.
There was always rumors. But, you know, I was there when we got them.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie, you know, was throwing them out in the garden. So, you know, we definitely helped
uh-huh.
do that.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, we're responsible for a lot of the Asian ladybugs.
Uh-huh.
But we, you know, we did petiole wasps then, too, for the first time.
Uh-huh.
We should do that again.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've done that off and on through the years.
I was going to say,
for bean beetles.
Yeah. Wasps. And I didn't realize we'd done it so recently. Again, I was talking to Gretel.
They did it
like
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, not just last summer, but the summer before. But then we, you know, we'd done it, you know, like 5 years, 6 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done that a couple times.
Yeah.
But
were you part of the group that hatched them? Eric Olmanson is actually lecturing the class I'm TAing right now.
Oh, Eric is?
Yeah.
Olmanson. He's in town still.
He is still in town.
Yeah. I knew his sons. I tend to watch his kids grow up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So he said that you had to hatch them, or you...
Yeah, You harvested, they came just before the hatching.
Yeah.
So then we watch beans for, find the, when they get to that one stage where they're, the yellow grub, so you watch for the eggs, and then you watch for the, pupal stage or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not an entomologist.
But you know what everything looks like. And
yeah, I never have learned all the words.
Yeah.
But, then, you harvested those with a few leaves.
Uh-huh.
And then you introduce the wasp over there and put fine net cloth over that. And then the wasp would infect the, and turn it into a mummy. And then you'd hang the mummies around the garden.
And then the wasps hatched from that.
And then the wasp would hatch from the mummies.
Oh, okay.
So that's how you did that. I thought it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun to do, too.
It sounds like fun to do.
Well, Steph was little, and she liked playing with the bugs and stuff.
I would.
She liked doing that.
Sounds like what I like to do. That's good.
Yeah, she always liked doing that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's why we introduced the Asian ladybug to Wisconsin, I think.
For the kids' pleasure. That's a good reason. Enough pleasure. Something to play with.
Yeah, the quartz. See, what else did you do? But, he did a lot of birdhouses and stuff. And, there were a lot of things done then.
You built the shed, not the shed, the...
Oh, the
stand too, right? For the
yeah, I built the
kiosk
or billboard or whatever. You want to call
it.
Yeah,
not the shed.
Another terminology. Yeah. I don't know the things. The billboard. I built those, and then we put those up like opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the garden oversight is, I think it'll be good somewhat in the long run, but I think there's too much garden oversight. I'm not a rule person, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's...
But it's the politics of the time, it's just, our status has always been the same, They're trying to, I think Gretel and Robin have, they have, an idea that, if you work with them, make yourself valuable, and it has been all along, because there's always been a fear in the garden that somehow the university is going to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
From the first year I was there, there was always that,
Yeah.
You might want to talk to some of the older ones. I heard once that towards the beginning that the gardens were on the other side of the road.
They were.
And that when they took them, there were literally riots.
I don't think there were...
Demonstrations and...
Yeah, I heard that there were planned to be riots, the demonstrations. I don't know if that's... I heard there was...
Well, I came from a very reactionary period, so,
I heard...
I'm still a reactionary.
The story that I have is that they used to be right north of you.
It was
houses.
Getting quite heated, though, I heard.
It was getting quite heated. So the person... It couldn't have been too bad because I talked to two people at that time, and one person, Robert House, was a chairman, and he said that there was a big discussion on the committee, the garden committee. He said half of us wanted to have protests, and the other half of us, meaning him, wanted to try to work through the right channels to begin with and do that. And so as long as progress was being made, the protesters said it was okay, and they weren't going to protest as long as we were having progress being made.
Yeah, I probably talked with more reactionaries.
Yeah, you probably. I'd like to know who you talked to.
This is years ago.
Do you remember your name? If you can,
I'll have
think
to talk
of,
to my sister to see if she can.
Ask her if she can think
she
of the
remembers,
names of the people.
She was at the hospital. There was a man that first started there, the one that founded Eagle Heights years ago. The idea was, after the war and stuff, he was involved quite a bit with, the establishment of Eagle Heights itself. And his idea was to provide affordable housing, subsidized housing for students with families.
Uh-huh.
Not the idea that somehow it has to break even or show a profit, which is the current. We're living in a much more capitalist era than we were back then,
I watched
the change.
I don't like living in capitalist era.
I know. I just.
But it's all, yeah.
Well, I know. I haven't changed at all. They kept telling me I would, but I never did.
No.
But, it just is. And it's those political swings that change things. And right now, the university is very, budget oriented because of the tight times or for whatever reason. And that's why they've robbed our treasury. We still haven't gotten our plumbing bill.
What do you mean the plumbing done?
Well, they were supposed to have the plumbing bill for last year or the year before to us in December, and we still haven't gotten it as of the last meeting. So, you know, it's good that Gretel and Robin are running things, because you know, that's why I've always stayed to the side a little bit. You know, I've got that reactionary impulse. Uh-huh. And so, but sometimes it works.
Sometimes it works, and
that's
works
why I like
well.
To stay on the committee. So it's like, you know, just like to keep an eye on what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, said late 60s, early 70s Mel Trust. It's still there.
And I have it from my parents, and I have it from
my niece and nephew. They're very liberal. Mm-hmm.
You have to be. So what were you saying about the person who founded Eagle Heights? Or who, how, try to ask your sister
who
might.
He may have died, you know.
Well, ask your sister who you may have talked to who was also. So I talked to Robert House and Marco
Garcia. If we could
Garcia.
Find Howard Schunk, he would know a lot.
I know.
Joe Cooper also may know more.
Okay.
Because it, you know,
Eric
there was
Olmsted
a period.
Eric told me to find Howard Schunk, and I.
Yeah, and he's. I can't find him. But Joe Cooper's your best lead to find Howard.
Okay.
See, he had long blonde hair and was living up there. He was a housing worker. He scuba dived in Lake Mendota.
Uh-huh.
He was, you know. His, you know, he always got a plot so he could grow beans. The only thing he wanted to grow was beans.
Beans?
Just beans. He liked garden beans. So, and then every year he'd, you know, take a big gulp of water and turn to his neighbors and go, you can hardly taste, you know, the water's pretty good this year. You can hardly taste the fish. And then they said, what do you mean? And he said, well, it comes right out of Lake Mendota, you know, even though he knew it was coming, you know, good water right out of the system.
Yeah.
And he liked the veracity. He had a good sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
He'd have a couple of beers and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he helped paint stakes. He kept the supplies under his, there was a garage. I forget exactly where it was. But he had an apartment, you know, and then there was a garage underneath it.
Mm.
And then we, before we had the garage, we kept all the stakes in there.
Oh, okay.
And then he supplied the painting materials, and we'd paint them under there.
Uh-huh. You know. What, paint them how? Why did you have to paint them?
Well, we had orange stakes in the middle of every plot. So every year they plowed.
Uh-huh.
So we'd put a stake in the middle of the plot with the number on it, and then we'd paint the number on it.
Because you didn't want to have the number, you didn't want to have to make sure the right number stake went.
See, we had little stakes on the corners.
Stakes,
so we had all these little stakes.
Uh-huh.
And,
but then you'd repaint a number on every.
And then in the center, we'd put a, you know, we'd put like a, you know, 3 foot stake, you know, like 2 inches wide.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd paint that orange.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd
write
the number on.
Okay.
And so we had come up with 700 of those every year. You know, they'd get busted up. That was a major undertaking. That's why we need.
Huge undertaking.
You know, that's why we need so many people opening day to do all these things. And it worked pretty good.
Uh-huh.
You know, we didn't mismark too many. Because we did it with all the sticks and pry, you know.
Yeah.
You know, everything was line of sight and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But then under Gifford, we, you know, got the engineering department to come up with that layout that they came up with, which is, I don't know where their engineer is right now, but.
Yeah. He told me that story, too. He said, I had this great idea. I had a class come and survey our field for us.
Gifford?
Yeah.
And they came up with the weirdest stuff. Did he tell you about what, you know, we have a no fence policy now. Well, yeah, they came up with all these, I'll go down to the other light, but they came up with all these triangles and stuff, and we were trying to adjust it opening day. And, you know, you can see down by the, you know, like the 700s where it turns and stuff, there's some really odd-shaped plots.
Yeah,
you know, but they were all worked out, you know, to the, you know, and plus, you know, with the engineers, you know.
To the right size, so the size.
They gave us, like, you know, they were all worked out in, you know, like to the tenth of an inch or something. And then we're trying to measure with, you know, I mean, we're measuring across ground with these, you know, with these long tape measures, you know, and then we're trying to, you know, and then we're, oh, it was a disaster. It took us forever that day to do that. We were better off with this. Yeah, that was a major, you know, discussion in the garage that day.
Just like, why did we do this?
Yeah, committee meltdown. Yeah, everyone looked at it. Because, you know, we got the, you know, we didn't get the information from the engineers until probably a couple days before we laid it up. So we couldn't, all of a sudden we're looking at what they've given us. And it's, you know, half the committee wanted to bring out the springs and the sticks and start over. And, you know, Bob wanted to you know, stay with the engineering plan. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I just like, whatever, you know. And we marked them all and looked at them, just, you know, like, oh well, and it's still that way to this day. There's some really odd shaped pots.
Because that was so you were going to mark it, and that was going to be the year you left it.
We were going to put permanent stakes.
Right? So
that's where we came up with those, you know, those. Yeah, we got those
fiberglass
stakes that work. They're still the cheapest thing we've come up with.
Oh.
We're going to try to find some conduit and change it this year, you know, or change it next year. But they're the cheapest things
painful.
We can find. But yeah, you touch them, you're doomed. Yeah. You know, even with my calluses, they go right through.
I know.
They're horrible.
I know. So many times I've been, you know, leaning
so
over.
So that seemed like a good
accident.
Idea at the time, too. But. Yeah, we've made, had some winning decisions and some losing decisions.
Uh-huh.
So it's been kind of fun.
But it keeps on going, right? So
it does. You have to have a, you know, broad view of it. You know, like, you know, even though I'm very opinionated, you know, I just kind of, like, go with the flow with, you know, whatever. You know, I may not always agree with everything that's going on, but one thing I've noticed is it always changes. The only thing that's not changing.
Yeah,
what is that final date now they've given us? You know, that you can't have a garden for more than 6 years or something. So all of us older guys are going to get booted.
But is that?
And that's that Wiley decision.
But is that dependent on demand for garden space too?
Yeah, but there'll be that demand when that happens. You know, we're moving into a period where people are, you know, I don't know, maybe living in Madison you have a better, you know, different view of things. But my, you know, my niece and nephew's generation seemed to be quite liberal, you know. And I think it was because, you know, the people that became the academics were more the liberals than the leftists that didn't really care about money.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
you know, and the rest that went into, you know, other fields, you know, they
or
made
not.
The money, but
uh-huh.
they didn't control the education process. So things change.
You got him through the...
Well, there was that one Reagan group. You know, I'm like 55, but there's this group that's like 10 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then they lasted for about 10 years. And, you know, they're not all that way. But mm-hmm. they turned into some really interesting, greedy people.
Greedy is more right than interesting.
You know, and I don't know what happened to them. And then my generation, too. They're, you know, they turned into the bankers and the, you know, they're, you know, the head of the, getting off to the guards lately. But the neocons, you know, their movement, the head of, you know, Bill Kristol's father, you know, the one that writes for whatever, the one right-wing journal, National something. But Bill Kristol's father was originally a socialist. And then,
really?
And then he all of a sudden had this epiphany and turned into this hyper capitalist. You know, I don't know what happened to him. And he turned into this arch conservative, and his son is too now.
Weird.
You know, just like overnight, the man went from being a socialist to. You know, I never could understand what was wrong with, you know, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. You know, then you look at capitalism, it's like get whatever you can and rape the planet, you know.
And you just shake your head and you're like, but are you actually happy?
And these
what
people are talking about
are you
somehow, you know,
yourself?
Somehow Article 4 of the Constitution that involves capitalism. There's nothing in the Constitution about economics at all. Nothing.
No, of course there's not.
The word capitalism didn't exist back then.
No, they had no interest in it either. We had never so many in
the turn of the century was a dirty word, you know.
That's no good.
And now we're so proud of that term.
Oh.
But anyhow,
close your mind.
But I think
close
that affects the gardens, you know, whatever the swinging political opinions are at the time.
No, it does.
So,
if people are interested in gardening, if they're not, how people want to work with the university.
And if the university is in a very control mode like they are now, mm-hmm. they want to seem to, you know, hyper-manage everything. We're suffering as a result of it, you know, with the budget, with everything else. When it was a friendlier attitude where if housing wasn't doing anything that day, they'd come over and help, you know, fix things that we were incapable of, you know, just because they had this. Now they're all on, you know, timesheets.
Oh, wondering where you are.
Oh, I'm still talking, so I'll be... You know me. Okay. Bye.
need by to go
nine.
Soon? By 9. Okay.
I'm fine. If you're okay. Holed up, anyhow.
Oh, no. I just keep thinking of other things, but...
Yeah, Eric didn't even want to bring in the porta potties because...
No.
He said, we can go out in the woods.
Yeah.
I don't know if he
didn't
want to discuss
like
that part now. But he had 2 sons, so it was different.
Yeah. But, he had 40 sons. That's really funny. When did community... So, were there community members gardening there when you started?
Yeah. Oh,
yes. Okay.
There was always some community members. You know, I'm always worried about the status of community.
But. Yeah.
But they were always
people
there.
People say that they were always there, but when I talk to other people from the 70s and the 80s, they say, no, it was all students, and we don't remember other communities. So I'm trying to figure out
there were people from...
When these...
Well,
when...
I was there in
who?
The 90s, so in the 90s there were quite a few community people.
There were a lot of them, okay.
You know, because we had excess gardens, and, you know, so we were getting people from, like, the Near East Side. You know, we got more of the liberals, and, you know.
Uh-huh.
So there were quite a few back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, just around my garden, there were quite a few.
Yeah.
Huh. See, my sister was, you know, academic.
Yeah.
And then my niece was student, and she's probably going to go back to school again, so she can be student again.
Oh, then you can just have, she can get a plot.
Yeah, she's still, you know, she's going to be back in school. It's hard to get a job right now.
I know, I'm going to supposedly finish up, and I have no idea how that's going to work.
Oh, work. Things work out.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know,
not one of the people who really cares about money. So.
It shows sometimes.
It
comes and goes. We're working a lot right now, though. Suddenly we're getting busy.
Are you? Oh, good.
So.
Yeah.
But what else?
So the community members have just, they've been there.
Yeah, there were quite a few people coming. But the community members that I've known and still know, you know, some of them lost class because they got too quiet and too, you know, weren't paying attention enough.
Huh.
You know, I got on the committee to protect kind of the rights of, you know, some of the know, other people. And it's just watch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more political, so I just kind of want to make sure what's going on. And, you know, I've always encouraged other people to get on the committee because, you know, that's the only way they can protect their rights. But, you know, a lot of them would rather stay in the shadows. You know, well, I don't want to make a fuss because then they'll notice me, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be noticed. Or, you know, the further I stay away, you know, it's like, you know, for some reason the committee's always had this, you know, this persona among some of the gardeners of, you know, like some controlling entity. And they've always been, and it's always been that way.
Huh.
You know, it's never been really true. But they, you know, there's always this idea that somehow, you know, there's this group of people that are deciding their fate.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, well, if you go on the committee, you can decide your own fate. But they don't seem to want to do it.
Huh.
And so a lot of community people have just, you know, stayed very quiet, you know.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid that, they, you know, if they knew about them, they'd get, you know, thrown out of the gardens or something. I don't know.
I mean, they're allowed to be there. They're registered.
No, I mean,
it's so funny. It's
but,
so
yeah,
strange.
They remain rather quiet.
Uh-huh.
Some people just don't want to be involved. And I've run into a lot of that.
Yeah.
They'll talk about things in the garden and gripe about things. They say, well, we got a meeting. Why don't you come and we'll talk about it all? No.
Don't think so.
Oh, we're not going to do that. Well, it's like gossiping, you know. It's more fun to gossip sometimes than do something about it. People like to complain.
Yeah.
You know, it's just human nature.
Uh-huh.
But,
I don't know. People also feel like they're active in the gardens just by gardening, right?
No.
So...
Well, a lot of people have the idea, you know.
Too, you know, if I'm already working on this place.
You know, it gets stressful with their, you know, with a lot of their papers and stuff. And a lot of them just want to go up to the garden and dig in the ground. And that's why I like it. It's just very relaxing. You get away. It's beautiful up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got all the animals and the birds and the trains, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's very relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to change that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but their status could change as a result of not being involved. And they don't quite make that connection.
Yeah.
Why, you know, and they should become more involved. You know, I kind of shied away from. There were a couple of chairmen that I kind of shied away from, but I won't mention any names.
No, don't mention names. You can when I turn the table.
No, but I mean, yeah, it's personalities. You know,
yeah.
You're always going to have that when you have a committee. And I've never been on a committee or in a group where you didn't have at least. Two major factions on every issue. It's a little quiet right now, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, But if you bring up an issue like, you know, like pesticides or herbicides or you know, losing plots, you know, as that 2013 deadline comes up, you're going to get a little, it's going to get a lot more heated again.
Yeah.
You know, because like all, basically you're going to lose all the gardeners that, you know, it's like the, you know, Joe Cooper, you know, he doesn't think it'll happen. You know, I've talked to him, he just doesn't believe it's going to happen, you know, but,
How long has he been gardening there? Quite a while.
Quite longer than I have.
Really? Okay, I do have to talk to him.
But these people are quiet.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's involved with committees and emails and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people, who, you know, especially with that deadline now, they're just keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
And they don't want to really, well, maybe they won't notice I've been here for this long.
Yeah.
You know.
The funny thing, you can't, like, hide that. I mean...
But it's human nature. People do. You think if nobody sees you, they're fine.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, I've heard, you know, discussions of, you know, people trying to get around the rules that way. You know, if they're somewhat tied to the university, they can find a student. Or, you know, I've always been very honest, you know. I just, you know, to a fault sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know... But you hear things like, you know, well, maybe you could find a student and put their name on it or this or that. And, you know, they'll get around the rules that way.
Uh-huh.
And that's not fair. It's not right.
No.
You know,
no.
Instead of trying to fight that rule, because I don't like rules.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, if enough people don't like the rule, then there should be something.
Yeah. The chancellor can change his mind. You know, just because one chancellor said one thing doesn't mean another one can.
They
change their mind on things all the time at the university.
Yep.
You know, I don't believe anything's written in stone.
No.
You know.
Far from it.
No.
That's a great thing.
And then they take the stones and dump them in the woods anyhow. That's where we got our wall. Oh, you know, they write on stones.
If they're writing on it, then they're gone.
Look at that big quarter, so yeah, it just disappears.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a great thing about thinking about history is how nothing is ever static in any way.
No, you get these
changes so
there's rapidly. I've always been kind of interested in things. So, you know, I kind of keep track of the past, where most people don't. They don't know what came before them.
Mm-hmm.
And most people aren't interested in history at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like a generational amnesia towards the past. People really don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, the older you get, the more you realize it. You know, there's a lot of young people that have no clue what happened in the 60s, the 70s, the 40s. You know, they just lost track. Oh, the government won't do this or that. But they did it in the past. They're very capable of doing that.
Yep.
Almost like, you know, it's like Gates,
it's
you know,
not realistic.
The defense secretary, and he said, well, getting totally off the guard.
That's
now.
Fine.
You know, he said, that if they found terrorists in the United States, that it was, you know, any kind of terrorists, right? That they were, you know, that they should, you know, even if they're American citizens within the United States, that they could assassinate them legally, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, is that a PETA group that's releasing, you know, like minks? I mean, are they terrorists? You know, or somebody that's tying themselves to a tree in the, you know, in the Sierras trying to save the, you know, the redwoods? Are they, you know, I mean, what's the definition?
Yeah.
You know, and you know what, the Defense Department's going to send out SEALs and whack all the PETA girls? You know, I mean, come on. You know, people don't think about these things.
People don't question or try to understand how vague words are or what words can mean, right?
And that's why I stayed on the committee, because, you know, it's we're only like, there's only like 8 to 10 people usually at the meetings.
Yeah.
Those votes, you know, are very close a lot of times for major policies.
Yeah.
And, you know, and chairman is hard. Nobody ever wants to be chairman, so usually there's one person running for chairman.
It's so easy that
and
we
I was like,
voted for, oh, for
well, yeah, it's like...
For Robin. Oh, well, okay.
Which choice was Robin. And I like, you know, Robin's done very well. He's very bright. You know, the book he wrote's very good. So,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, he used to be an organic farmer. I don't think he
can. No, you know.
Not want
to he's not, you know... I mean, nobody is the same as far as youth go, you know. And I think Gretel's a nice touch because she's a little older. I wish more students were involved because I think the university would be friendlier to us if they were.
Yeah.
You know, but she's very, you know, leveling as far as things go. She's a very level-headed person.
She used to be a dean in the College of Agriculture.
Yeah.
So
she no, has, but she's very.
She has that. Yeah,
very sense. Level. You know, I have never been level in my life. You know, I've been an extremist always. You know, so, you know.
Yep.
I try to keep my mouth, you know, somewhat shut. I try to be polite.
But that's the important.
But if I see injustice, there was, you know, I maybe should have done tape. But I've seen, you know, issues with, you know, a couple, you know, gardeners last year, where, you know, I wouldn't have been so rule oriented, you know. You know,
yeah.
Like so, old gardeners have lost their plots because, you know, they just spaced the date or something. People have been there for, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, there was a, you know, well, there was a dean of, you know, astrophysics. He was a, you know, a professor emeritus. And he lost his plot because he thought his wife sent it in. He's like 89 years old. So he lost his plot.
Are you talking about Ugo?
Huh?
Ugo? Yeah.
And then John, he had the, you know, pear tree plot. He lost it because he spaced the date, you know. You know, because there weren't any real firm.
Yeah.
They weren't being that firm about returning gardeners.
Yeah.
And you know, suddenly, you know, we were.
Yeah. And then, oh no, I have to do this.
But, you know, it's like, you know, they're right. You know, you have to have rules that are enforceable because otherwise people can challenge you, you know, legally and stuff like that. But, you know, that wasn't quite the outlook in other, you know, eras. You know, people went, now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It'll all get worked out in the end.
So, yeah.
Huh. Wow.
But that's, but I, you know, I think they're going to lose a lot if they lose, you know, just not, you know, me, I just, you know.
I can't, I mean, I,
I'll find something that, somewhere, you know.
You'll find something somewhere.
I always found a place to dig. I like gardening.
Oh, gardening is just.
I would prefer to say, you know, I've had that for a long time. I've got perennials in there and stuff like that. And I think the older gardeners do bring a perspective to the garden.
I think it would be a very different place if we didn't have... The age range is something that I really appreciate in the gardens.
Like, yeah, because I think it brings a little history to, you know, the experience. You know, what do we do here? Why is this this way? Well, it's this way because of this.
Yeah.
Know? There's people that actually know why things happen, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if, you know, or if there's suddenly...
Better experienced gardeners.
Or even these rules that they hate me keep bringing up that, you know, keep coming back to it, that Wiley's decision was arbitrary. You know, you know, they say, well, this is what, you know, the university has decided. No, this is what John Wiley decided one afternoon when he was irritated in the gardens. Well, you can only live in Eagle Heights this long, so that's how long you have the gardens. And that was his decision. Well... That wasn't always true with the Eagle Heights either. There were people that would get exemptions for. There were people that lived in Eagle Heights a long time.
Yeah.
You know, especially you know some of the ones that came from you know countries that were you know where they couldn't go home.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were staying. You know, and they were basically political refugees in Eagle Heights. They were. You know.
Really?
They
were.
You know, I knew an Iraqi man who you know. Before Saddam, you know, when Saddam Hussein was in, he couldn't go back to Iran.
Wow. Uh-huh.
The Iranian man that I knew up from the garden, he couldn't go back to Iran. Mm-hmm. You know, and in those circumstances, there were quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah, wow.
Our State Department rules changed the, you know, the makeup of the garden. That's an interesting thing, too.
Uh-huh.
It depends on who they want to give student visas, who our present international population is.
Uh-huh.
You know, we had quite a few Iraqis for a while, and we had quite a few other, you know, students from other Arab nations. But they seem to have disappeared from the rules. We aren't allowing them in anymore.
Yep.
So, you know, the Muslim and Arab population in the garden has plummeted.
Yeah.
As a result, because suddenly everybody with an Arab name is, you know,
isn't let in. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know. Mainland China is our big trading partner, so we let more Chinese students in. So they're, you know, so the demographics have changed through the State Department. You know?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I'm gonna have to think about that more.
Yeah, we're
we're like the student population.
So yeah, a lot of factors come into you know why the gardens exist, how they exist, who's running them,
so
who's
many
in charge.
Factors.
What the demographics are, we just, you know.
I know, that's why I'm having such
an interesting